as we come together on this evening, continuing to give God thanks once again for all that he has done for us. As we continue to look at his word and understand the importance of keeping all that he says, that we may be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. On this morning, we looked at the topic of trust me, going to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, and looking at the command that was given unto Saul, and how Saul went and disobeyed God. And for his disobedience, he was rejected as being king. I closed out looking at the importance of when Samuel came to Saul and told him that he would be anointed king, and he was. And the word that God gave Samuel to give to Saul in order for him to go and to destroy man, woman, boy, and girl, and all the cattle and the sheep. How when Saul received that word, that the Bible does not say that Saul went into a deep prayer session with God. It says that he was obedient. He went. But as he went, we find that he disobeyed. And that is really the thing that I want you to see on this evening as we continue with this same line of trust me, talking about trusting God. Trusting God for what he has said, and having a mind to do those things exactly the way he says for them to be done. We're going to go and we're going to the book of Genesis, and the chapter is 6. Genesis, the chapter is 6. Many of us know the story of the wickedness of mankind coming up before God in Genesis chapter 6. And we know how God came to Noah. The Bible states that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And with his grace, with his favor, God told Noah that you are to build an ark. And within building this ark, you and your family will be saved. Not just building it, but building it and entering into the ark. You and your family will be saved. When God told Noah to build the ark and instructed Noah on exactly how he wanted the ark to be made, Noah didn't stand there and debate with God. Noah did not question God. The Bible says, as we find in Genesis chapter 6, starting with verse 11. Genesis chapter 6, starting with verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. And all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, as God is having this conversation with Noah, he tells Noah, I will destroy them along with the earth. In other words, Noah, I'm not going to destroy you. I'm going to destroy everyone else. And he tells him there in verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which ills the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also, take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Now, I look at this and I think about Adam in the garden. How God told Adam to name all the animals. You named them, Adam. And now we find that God is telling Noah that these animals are going to come to him and to take them into the ark along with him, two of every kind. And as he was going to take these things and listen to what God has said and do those exactly the way he told them, for we look at verse 22, Noah did this. Now look at what it says. Noah did this. The ideal of man is hearing the command of God and saying, let me pray. Let me pray for what God has told me to do. That's the ideal of man. The Bible does not say that Noah heard all of these things and God telling him that you and your family will be saved. And Noah said, let me pray. Noah doesn't say that. It said, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Now, how good would this world be if all men heard the word of God and those that proclaim that they wanted to be saved, that they would do exactly what God told them to do? See, Noah and his family, these animals that God told him to take with him, they would not be on the earth. They would be inside the ark. And that is what we need to understand when we look at this passage and we see what God told Noah and what Noah did. The Bible continues there in chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your households, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You, Noah, you and your family. You have set the precedence for your family. They're looking at you. They're following you. They're obedient. You're righteous before me. Take with you seven pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate. The seven pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living thing that I have made, I will blot out from the face of the ground. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. No communication as far as, let's talk about this, God. Let's get an understanding. You created all of this. Those people that you're talking about destroying, those are my friends. Why destroy them? That's not the conversation that you see here. Actually, what we see is we see a one-sided conversation and we see obedience. God is speaking, Noah is moving. That's the way we need today. We need men to hear God. And we need men to be moving when they hear God. It brings back to remembrance when I was a little boy, my grandmother used to call our names. She didn't care what she was doing. She wanted you to respond when she called your name. She wanted to know that you heard her when she called. And I'm trying to teach Justin and Dante the same thing. When I call you, let me know that you hear me. And when I call you, not only let me know you hear me, but be moving. This is what Noah was doing. Noah was listening to God, and he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. The Bible tells us that, does it not? Everything on the earth is going to be destroyed. You're not going to be on the earth. You're going to be in the inside of the ark. Doesn't say that Noah went into prayer. See, that time was going to be reserved for later, for him to make sacrifices unto God by the things in which God commanded him to sacrifice. Whole lot different from Saul. Saul chose the things that he wanted to sacrifice to God. God didn't ask for that sacrifice. And that is what we need to understand, that when God tells us to do something, we need to trust him and we need to do it. It's not about, you know, now don't get me wrong. We all understand communicating with God. We all understand the importance of prayer. But prayer is reserved for the obedient, reserved for the righteous. So our lives need to be in order, doing the things that God wants us to do. Then we go into prayer with him. Let us understand the importance of these things. Then we go to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Understanding once again the goodness of God, how God communicates with man, and how he expects man to do exactly what he tells them to do. We find here in 2 Kings chapter 5 the leper by the name of Naaman. Naaman, as the word of the Lord came to him, telling him what he needed to do. Naaman, in a sense, was debating and said, there has to be a better way for me to be clean. Again, if it's not God's way, it's the wrong way. I don't care what you do and how long you do it. But we find, as we look at this and we think about Naaman the leper, the Bible tells us there, starting with verse 8, "But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, and that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean.'" Wash 7 times. One time wasn't going to do it. 2 times, 3 times, 4, 5, 6 was not going to do it. Now, could it have done it? Yes, if that's what God wanted. But he wanted obedience. He said 7 times, "And your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Or not Abana and Pharphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" If you're trying to wash away the filth of the flesh, yes. But that's not what God wanted. God wanted obedience. He wanted him to understand that, "Trust me and you will be clean." So he turned and went away in rage. But his servant came near and said to him, "My father, is it a great word the prophet has spoken to you? Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean?'" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Prayer didn't do it, did it? Obedience to what God wanted him to do. To dip in the Jordan 7 times. 7 times. God doesn't ask us to be baptized 7 times. He just commands us to be baptized. And we have a problem with that. And when I say we, I'm not necessarily talking about the ones that have put Christ on through baptism. I'm talking about the ones that think that they can pray and they're saved. I'm talking to the ones that think about just because mama was saved that I'm automatically saved. I'm talking about the ones that think that, you know, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit is still around and somebody can lay their hands on them and they become saved. Before we get to the end of the lesson, we're going to find that God has commanded a way for man to be saved. And he has not changed that. We do not have to go down to the Jordan River and be washed seven times. We find in the book of Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. Exodus chapter 14 and the verse is 21. We find this man by the name of Moses. God had given him a command as he led the children of Israel. He was to lead them to safety. He was to lead them through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Bible doesn't say that Moses, after was told to do this, that Moses said, wait, let me talk to God before I do this. Let me go in prayer and everything is going to be all right. We don't have to worry about crossing the Red Sea. It's not what Moses did. The Bible says there in Exodus chapter 14, verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. What if Moses would have just stood there and prayed? What would have happened? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because that's not what God wanted. What God wanted here, again, is obedience. You do what I'm telling you, and you and the people will be okay. I'm going to take care of Pharaoh for you, but you need to be obedient. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left hand. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire in the cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from before Israel, and the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. God had a plan. And what we need to realize that when God has a plan, there is nothing but nothing any better. We have to follow the plan that God has laid out. We hear people say from time to time, there are footprints in the bottom of the Red Sea. May I suggest to you that those footprints does not belong to the children of Israel, but those footprints were of the Egyptians, because the Bible says that the children of Israel went over on dry ground. We need to understand the importance of listening to God. It is not about prayer. It's about obedience. It's about obedience. In the book of Joshua, chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. In the book of Joshua, chapter 18, chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. As the spies there, they talked to Rahab. And they were telling Rahab, the harlot, what was to happen in order for her and her house to be saved. They just say, Rahab, what I want you to do is I just want you to go into a deep prayer and continue to pray to God that he would spare you and your household. That is not what they told her. They told her something that need to be obeyed in order for her and her house to be saved. It says in verse 18 of Joshua chapter 2, behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie the scarlet cord to the window through which you let us down. And you shall gather into your house your father, your mother, your brothers, in all of your father's household. How many of us have safe deposit boxes? How many of us have safes? How many of us have a treasure box where we put our just most prized possessions? I would like to think that when Rahab heard this message, when it says there, going back up to verse 18 and looking, it said, "Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord to the window." This very cord in which you let us down, this is the one that you need to tie. Do you not think that she probably made sure that she knew where that was at all times? So when they came, that she could tie it and say, "This is my house." It's for a reason. And the reason was for her and her household to be saved. "Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if his hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood should be on our hand." Again, this word needed to be obeyed. Verse 21, it says, "And she said, according to your words, so be it. So be it." Then she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord to the window. We need to understand the importance, again, listening to God's word and being obedient, making sure that everything is dressed right, making sure that everything is in order, making sure that we have all our ducks in a row, our I's dotted and our T's crossed, because we want salvation. Again, it's not about prayer. It's about obedience. And we need to listen to God's word, and we need to do exactly what God tells us to do. So again, response to the word of God. How do we respond to God's word? How long does it take us to understand the importance of doing what God wants us to do? A lot of times we say, "Lord, I have no idea what to do. I'm a sinner. I have no idea what to do. I have no idea when I'm supposed to do it." It's very clear according to God's word. We went through it very quickly on this morning, and we're going to go through it again this afternoon. He says to hear in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're not saved by faith only. You know, the world teach that. The denominational world teach faith only. No, there has to be obedience. Noah heard that word. What did Noah do? "Oh, Lord, I have faith. I believe that you are going to destroy this world with water. And I believe that if I enter into the ark, I will be saved." But you know what Noah had to do? Noah had to build that ark. Noah had to go into that ark. We need to understand that. We need to understand that when God's word is spoken, there need to be some movement. So we understand, again, that we need to believe in what God says, this obedient faith. Jesus says there in John 8:24, "Except you believe that I am He, you should die in your sins." Die in your sins. What exactly is sin? Transgression of the law. James says, "To him to know it to do good and do it not, to him it is sin." When a man practices sin, that man is away from God. And he needs to understand the importance of coming to God. Sin separates us away from God. Again, it's not about prayer. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. They were praying to God, but yet they were in sin. They had to get their lives right with God in order for their prayers to be heard. The Bible tells us there in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." You go and you read verse 5, it says the same thing. "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." God told his people several times, "Turn back to me and your sins, you know, I'll take care of them. I'll make sure that you're all right with me. Just turn back to me." And that's what he wants right here. That's what he's saying right here. Repent. We have some people that have sinned, have never come to God. They have never come to him. Ezekiel teaches in Ezekiel 18, the soul that sins is the one that dies. We don't have to give an account for our father's sins, for our grandfather's, for our forefather's sin, for the sin of Adam. We don't have to give an account for that. Adam gave an account for that, and everyone after Adam that sinned had to give an account for their sins. Still stands true today. Every man that sins separates himself away from God. Then we find in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, the importance of confession. Jesus, you know, is very clear on this matter, because we have people to say, you know, I want to be a Christian, but I don't want anybody else to know it. How can you be a Christian and not allow someone else to know it? The Bible tells that you need to make that confession before man. If you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. So we need to know the importance of confession, that it needs to be made. Now you hear, believe, repent, confess. When we start talking about becoming a child of God, how many times have you seen in Scripture where he tells an individual, you want to be saved? Pray. You want to be saved? Pray. You don't see that. When the Philippian jailer wanted to be saved, sirs, what must I do? They didn't tell him to pray. They did not tell him to pray. When you find that there in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, as we talked about this morning, and that's not 34 through 21, Brother Brian, so just calm down, okay? You don't hear where he tells them to pray. He told them there in Acts chapter 2 and the verses 38 to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's what you find. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. None of those examples of baptism talks about a person being told to pray. Not even Saul's conversion. Saul wasn't told to pray. He was just praying. Good practice. Very good practice. Practice for 3 days, but it didn't save him. Why do men teach today that there is a thing that is called a sinner's prayer? Not according to the Scriptures. It is not there. You're not going to find it. Now, you'll find in Scripture some sinners praying, but it did not save them. Let us understand that. And go and look at these scripture references here. Mark 16, 16, Acts 2, 38, Acts 22, 16, Galatians 3, 26, and Romans 6, 3. Baptism saves. Baptism saves. What do you teach people? What do you give into? When a man comes to you and tells you, I'm saved. And you ask him, say, well, how were you saved? When were you saved? At what moment were you saved? And he stands before you and he says, last night God came to me in a dream and I was saved. And I was like, hallelujah, praise God, I am now part of the kingdom. Do you tell him that he's wrong? Or do you accept that? Say, keep on living, my brother. Keep on doing what you're doing. God is with you. I hope not. I hope you tell him that I don't know what you had last night. I don't know what you encountered, but you did not encounter salvation, because salvation is not found, or salvation does not become to you or come up on you like that. You have to do what the Scripture says. God gave me a revelation. He told me this word, and with that word, I am now able to proclaim his word. How are we able to proclaim the Word of God? We have to study it. We have to know what the Scripture says in order to be able to teach someone about salvation. And not just about salvation, but we teach them about how to remain saved. How to become a child of God and how to remain a child of God. We need to hear those things. So if you're here on this afternoon, this evening, and you're not a child of God, someone has told you that you need to pray in order to have salvation, invite Jesus into your heart, I want you to wipe that away from your minds. And I want you to look at the Scriptures. And I want you to understand that as Saul in Acts chapter 9, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he told him, you go on to Damascus. And Ananias, somebody will tell you what to do. And that man was Ananias. When the Philippian jailer, sirs, what must I do? And they took him and they baptized him. Those in Acts 2:38, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized. That's what you need to do on this evening. You need to repent. You need to believe. You need to confess. You have heard. And you need to be baptized. And then you need to live a faithful life. You need to continue to study God's word. And you need to continue to grow. And you need to continue to mature. And you need to continue to go out and teach others. Teach them by example. Teach them by word and deed. Teach them by the word. Do what is pleasing to God. If you're strayed away from the foe, you are a child of God, but you're strayed away from the foe, he's waiting for you to come back. If you're here in your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.